All right, so welcome, 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 welcome to summer edition of Africans Talk Football TV. Coming back with you for the summer since we have a whole bunch of stuff going on. We got some World Cup qualifiers going on currently. We have some transfer news bubbling up as it is the summer. And as we were talking about last, you know, season, we have Euros and we also have Copa America this summer as well. So it's going to be a lot coming at you. There's going to be football galore. How my co-host doing? How's everybody doing tonight?
Great, man.
Gucci.
How are you guys?
It's good, man. It's been a minute since we all, I guess, saw each other's smiling faces. I see Salam's in his red for the Red Devils as they just announced some big news today. So let's go ahead and start out with Ten Hag. Staying at United. Looks like Ineos is ready to give him another shot at the ting after their FA Cup victory over Man City. How many hogs are you at right now, Salam?
10.
Oh my God. How did I know he was going to say 10?
I know.
Nah, I mean, I'm very excited, obviously, with the news. I've been on here saying that I wanted him to stay. I think that he's been really good for us. I think that he's had to deal with a lot, especially this season, and to come away with it with another trophy, I think, again, speaks to the manager that I think he's capable of being. And I think that we're heading in the right direction with him. And I think that two trophies in 2 years speaks to that. So I'm very happy. I think, you know, he's not perfect. I think certainly one thing that he shouldn't have is the creative freedom to bring in players and to send players out, because we've seen some of the decisions he's made have been questionable. But I think with some of the people that we've been appointing, like, you know, behind the scenes, I think that they'll be able to give him that structure and that guidance in some situations. So he doesn't feel like he has to do everything. But I'm happy that he's staying, man. 100%. And they've been saying that they're even starting like the initial talks for a possible extension. So yeah.
Wait, so yeah, so jeez. So what's the like what's the details of this extension? Is he like finishing out the last year on his contract, or?
Yeah, I mean they said like there's nothing like obviously like concrete, but Fabrizio's tweet said that initial talks, I guess whatever the first steps for, working towards an extension have already taken place. So I'm not quite sure what that means, but I mean that's positive for him, and obviously shows that they want to go through with him and have him be the person that leads this project. So
what would you want his extension to be like? How many years?
Honestly. I think I don't think that like we need to rush into any like crazy decisions. I think that we need to.
That's not an answer.
No. That doesn't show your confidence in him.
What I'm saying is the news is that he's staying for this season. He has 3 years of his contract, so the first 2 years are up. So this upcoming season is his last season. If it was me, I would go into this season saying like, hey, we feel positive about you, but we're not going to extend you until, you know, your contract's up. So like if it goes completely south, then we can cut ties. You know, we don't have to rush into any decisions and just let the.
So you would wait till next season is over?
Yeah, I mean, no, I would say so. Like if we're halfway through and like if we're obviously showing signs of progression, then yeah, I would be like, let's extend him halfway through. Like if we're firmly, you know, in and amongst like the top four. I would say that if we're firmly like in the top four, maybe even, you know, out of the group stage, or even maybe out of the quarters of the Europa League. Same situation with FA Cup. I'm confident with him in the cups. If we're competitive like that, then yeah. I would say halfway through, maybe even a little bit more than halfway through, extend him, give him 2 to 3 more years, whatever the case may be. 2 years and a team option on the third. But I think that we have the leverage in this situation, because I think we should learn from the Ole situation and not jump to crazy conclusions and tie someone down who's not ready. And just enjoy the past two seasons, and let's see how this third season shakes out. But I'm happy he's staying for this upcoming season.
So I'll be surprised if he accepts that, though.
I'm sorry?
I said I'll be surprised if he accepts that, though. Like, you think he'll go into this season without any reassurances?
No, he's gotten the reassurance of you're staying this season. I think the whole talk. Like, yeah, but I mean that's what his contract is though too. He has 3 years. This upcoming season will be year three. So again, I mean he has to also show that, like, you know, we need to be, like, for me, it's very early. Like, it's in the summer, and you know, I don't even know what our team is going to look like. But you know, for me, I would need to see, like, continued progress for me to be comfortable giving him a more of an extension beyond the season.
So what does continued progress look like? You have two trophies in 2 years. Yeah. What are you expecting?
I would say top four for sure. I think that the biggest thing for me when it comes to him is he needs to show that he can be consistent in the league. The one thing about him that he has shown is that in the league, you know, if it be him, if it be the team, whatever the current situation is, there's a lot of inconsistency in the team. So I would like to see a little bit of stability there, because then that gives me the confidence of, like, okay, year in and year out, we can compete. Yeah. You know,
but, I mean, throughout the season. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but again, I would say let's go for two cups next year.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Let's go.
You are saying it throughout the season. It's the players.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't get the guys you want, then what happens?
I think I think, like, let's say if we didn't get any players, which I know we'll probably get, I know we don't have that much money, but I imagine we'll get a few players. I think even with some of the players that we had back this season, we would have looked a lot better. And the FA Cup final is a prime example of that. When we had a few more of our senior players back, we looked like a better team. So injuries are a part of the game, but again, I need to see consistency in the league. And you know what? Big props to United for extending him and not completely throwing away a project like some other clubs that are starting over again after 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit.
You might as well go right into it.
What's his name? Can you say his name? What's
Enzo,
his name?
Enzo Maresca. Maresca?
A lot of Enzos Maresca over there, man.
Yeah. No, I was saying Cornelius, though. Like, I don't really know how I truly feel right now. Because, to be honest, it's like we're starting over again. But the good part about this one is that these guys that we have been together at least for a year. So we know that these are not new players completely trying to, you know, learn each other and learn each other's tendencies, build chemistry. These guys have played at least a year together. I don't know what to expect with this guy. You know, I'm not one of those people that would act like I know what he's been doing. You know, clearly he was able to bring Leicester back into the Premier League, so he was doing something right. But in terms of, like, his tactics, the way he wants to play, I actually have to watch us play before I can make my true assessment on him. But I don't know, because if this guy doesn't work, doesn't mean we, you know, let him go, bring another guy in. You know,
wait, it's not 4 years?
Yeah, I think it was like four and five or something like that. It's a pretty long contract, so.
Okay.
But I don't know, man. I'm confident. That's the only confidence I have is that most of our guys have actually been together for a year. They understand how each other, you know, work. They understand what each other can do and can't do. So that's the positive about this hire, because at least we're not starting from ground zero like this past season where 80% of the team, this was like their first time playing together. So coming back, that my biggest My biggest number one hope is a healthy squad. I think not having a 100% healthy squad did not help Posh either. But I still don't rate the guy like that. So I'm not even like too mad about it. It's just frustrating to think that we have to start over with this patience, you know, propaganda that these owners are going to feed us, you know. Be patient, be patient, be patient. We were patient throughout the season. And then in the end, when we were getting hope and finding something to stand behind, you guys let this guy go. You bring in a new guy, and you're going to preach that same message to us again. This time, the only way we're going to be able to eat it up is if we see some actual progress from the jump. We don't have excuses this time. This is not a complete new squad. This squad has been together. So we can't really like have excuses this year. So that's the only part that gives me hope.
Question for you. Why do you think they let go of Pochettino?
I think he got to a point where he understood that, hey, I'm not actually going to have power in the player that I want, the style of player I want to bring in. He realized that he's not going to have that power. And if you paid attention to, like, at least the last 2 months of the season, I thought maybe it was just him getting tired of, you know, the rumors. But you can clearly now, when you look back, you can see that he was trying to actually send a message, right? This whole time, we were thinking, oh, he's getting frustrated with the rumors. But if you actually peep and you go back and, you know, like, pay attention to everything that was happening, now it makes sense. Now you see that, okay, he was actually trying to send a message to the owners through the media, right? And I think they just didn't like it. They want a system. And this is my beef with this whole Chelsea, like, new group and what they're trying to do. Okay, so he's came out and said many times how, oh, we want to build a structure like Real Madrid, you know, where, you know, we bring in a lot of young guys. They grow up together. There's a separation between, you know, who handles, who comes in, and then the manager handles what they have to handle on the pitch. This is not the same thing, though. I feel like with clubs like this, where we are, you always need that manager to take you that one step further, right? If you look at Chelsea back, right, when we got Mourinho, we had not been to where we wanted to be. It took us trusting in one guy, actually buying into one guy's idea, right? We bought into Mourinho's idea. Abramovich bought into Mourinho and gave him that time. And obviously he won, so he also bought himself time. But if you look at this Pep situation and how everything came to an end at the end of the season, and then you let him go, it's hard for me as a fan to think, okay, I can keep believing. Because if we get to a spot where Maresca is not happy and maybe wants to have a little bit input, are we going to have the same situation where you just let him walk? So that is where I'm a little confused. Yeah, I get it. You're trying to separate, you know, who handles the player movements and, you know, the manager doing his managing stuff. And they've talked about how they want collaboration from both ends, which to me, I don't know about you, Cornelius, I still don't understand what they mean by that. You keep talking about collaboration. What exactly was Poch demanding that was not going to be, you know, collaborating with the front office? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. From what I read, kind of in those last weeks before, you know, the end of the season, Poch really was mad because of, like, him not being able to get the players. And we knew that was always going to be a thing, but from what I understood, from the way I understood what I read, Poch in January said he wanted players. He wanted, you know, he wanted his own players. He was looking at people that he thought would be beneficial for our squad. And what our ownership group told him was, okay, give us the player profile of someone that you would want in, you know, your defense, your forward, your midfield. And we will go and search for players that fit that profile. And Poch was like, yeah, but I want to pick my specific players. And that was kind of the crux of the beef. And I think that went on throughout the whole second half of the season, him still saying, hey, we are good, but we need these type of players. Hey, we're good, but I want this type of player. Mm-hmm. And ultimately our, you know, our ownership group was like, look, you can give us a player profile and we'll go look for those type of players. But if you give us, you know, Bruno Gutierrez, and we don't like Bruno Gutierrez because we don't think he'll fit, we'll go find another player that's kind of like Bruno Gutierrez. And Poch didn't like that. And I think ultimately that's what it came down to. I don't know for sure because, you know, from what I also read, a lot of the players were upset that Poch was leaving. So in the locker room, Poch had the players. But for some reason, Poch and the, like, you know, the ownership group did not see eye to eye. So,
how many times with this though? I mean, Tuchel, the him,
exactly, and that's I think where Mike and my frustration comes with the whole collaboration bit. Like we keep talking about, there should be, you know, some side of synchrony from the ownership down to the management, down to, you know, the scouts, down to everybody, down to the players, but it's been 2 years now. It's been 3 years now, and we really haven't seen that at work at all. Yeah. You know, the first year was, it is what it is. The second year now, we've gone through a change where we saw actually a good bit of football in the second half of our season. You know, we ended up finishing sixth. We had a cup semifinal. We had a cup final. Ultimately, we didn't do what we set out to do, but we saw a huge leap from the first year to the second year, and now we're in our third year with our fifth coach, you know? So for me, it's what is it going to take for us to have some sort of synchrony between our ownership group and our manager? And maybe this is it. You know, this guy came in already seeing what happened with Poch. So he already kind of has some idea of how Chelsea management group is. You know, Egbali and Boley, I'm not exactly sure what they're doing at the top, but it seems like they have some sort of plan that whether or not the manager fits it, it's good. You know, like if the manager fits, good. If the manager doesn't fit, we'll get him out of here. That's the way it seems that they're operating right now. And I just hope that there could be a little bit more, you know, just way more of a comfortability with, you know, from the top to the bottom. Because right now it doesn't seem comfortable because you know, if you argue with the owners, it seems like you're on a chopping block. So for me, and even this summer, you know, we've been talking about it in the group chat, there hasn't even really been a succinct or some sort of plan on who we are going to get. We're seeing rumors now about Elise, we're seeing rumors about John Duran, you know, but other than those two players this summer, I haven't really seen us look for more signings. I'm not sure exactly what
you guys don't need them though.
You say that, but in the grand scheme of things, there should always be opportunity to bolster your squad, even if it's just one or two players saying, hey, we want this player to come in, so, you know, as a striker, so we can give Jackson some sort of competition, or we have a backup for Jackson, or we know that left back has been one of the biggest issues with us for the team. We're not getting any left backs, you know. So for me, it's
what about Madsen?
He's gone.
Still, jury's still out. We don't know if he's going to stay at Dortmund. He wants to stay at Dortmund. Like he made that clear. You know, he wants to stay at Dortmund, but we don't know exactly what's going on with that. So for me, it's just there's a whole bunch of secrecy, I feel like, with our ownership group when it comes to players and how we're going to get our team run. But for me, I just hope that there could be some sort of synchrony that happens, because we've seen other teams run this way. You know, we've seen other teams where the ownership group and whatnot kind of determine who's going to be on the squad. They kind of determine a lot for the club, and the manager is just there to manage game time decisions and, you know, training and things like that. But for me, and you know, this was the thing that we kind of have to get used to, because with Roman will pick the guy and say, this is what we picked you for. Go and do what you said you're going to do. And if you fail, then you fail. But at least with Roman, he gave the manager the luxury to try things out, to go on the players, to try to, you know, integrate his style of play in the team. And then if it didn't work, it didn't work. But if it worked, then you get another year or you get another 2 years. I mean, we've seen two stints with Jose where it worked really, really well in the beginning. And then in the end, it was kind of dirty and messy. But in the long run, we know that Roman is going to give you the keys, and if you crash the Benz, then you're out. With this ownership group, it's kind of like they're giving you a Tesla, but they're keeping it on autopilot the whole time. So you're not even driving, you know? So I just want to see stability. I've been saying
that. I agree.
Want to see stability with our team.
Yeah.
Mike was right. This group has played together for a full year. And so as far as on the pitch, we should see.
Yeah, the excuses shouldn't be there, really.
It shouldn't be as bad as it was last season, but at the end of the day, it's all about if the players mesh with the manager and if the manager is able to get through to the players. So that's kind of my take on it. It's still super. I mean, the season just ended last month, so we're not even a full month out from everything yet. But I'm sure Poch is gonna have some presser where he's gonna say exactly what went on in the years to come or in the months to come. I'm sure, you know, these managers can't keep their mouth shut, but for me, I just want to see stability. That's really all I care about, because
I agree.
We were able to be sixth place last year after all that went through. Mm-hmm. That just gives me hope that we could potentially push for top four, that we could potentially push for more cups, that we could potentially be a team that, you know, is a force to reckon with. But it's got to be, there's got to be some sort of harmony at home for, you know, for you to be able to go out and perform week in, week out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been my take on it. But, you know, as far as transfers, you know, we kind of talked about United. We kind of talked about Chelsea a little bit. Arsenal got any transfers on? You know, you guys have been linked with a couple people this summer, but is anything kind of wrong?
We've been linked to, I mean, our biggest one was Sesko. He's staying at Leipzig. So that's that.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that? I mean, good move, bad move?
I really don't think anything of the move. I think he would have helped, but at the same time, he wasn't going to walk in and start. I don't think that. I think if we go and splurge on a striker, he's probably going to start, but we really don't need to. And that's, I think, kind of where we're at, because at the end of the day, Kai Havertz is going to play the nine. He's going to run the nine until I only see this going one of two options. We spend the money and bring in a big striker, or we bring in a Sesko, a Zerski, a young guy who we can mold into the striker that we want him to be with the attributes that we want. But our main striker right now looks like Kai Havertz. And after us not getting Sesko, I haven't really been hearing that many striker links, Osimhen. Like, I don't believe anything about that, so... At this point, I'm already kind of accepting my fate. Like, all right, I'm not even going to put any more energy into this now. It's just like, well, we have to go splurge somewhere. So I don't think we're going to go splurge on a left back. And we're probably going to go get a midfielder and a winger, honestly. And we might bring in like a young striker or something like that. But yeah, no. My issue is the midfielders that we want to bring in, or I've been seeing names, and Douglas Luiz is about to go to Juventus and a swap with Weston McKennie. So that's one midfielder I would definitely love to have. He's probably gone. Bruno G, I haven't really been hearing much about, and that's another midfielder I really want. So it's like, where? I mean, it's still early, like you said. The season just ended. Yeah. Transfer windows just opened. But at the end of the day, I know we like to get our business done early. I know the Euros are coming up. These players are not going to want to be making big decisions and this and that and the stuff during the Euros.
Yeah, so everybody's winning.
So it's kind of like, all right, well, I wish we kept saying we're going to get some business done before the Euros. We didn't. I don't think we're going to get anything done. So that means that for the next month, I mean, some stuff's going to come out and you'll hear rumblings, but I feel like players aren't really going to be signing like that until after the Euros, after Copa. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to wait until – I don't want to wait that month to, you know, for players to know, okay, this is who I'm with, this is where we're at. I'd rather just get the business done early, like we have in previous windows. But, you know, it is what it is. Like I said before, I trust Arteta and Edu to get who they want to mold into who we need our team to be and what we need for our team. Because, I mean, they haven't really missed on many signings. If you look at it, we haven't really missed. Like, every player has gotten better since they've pretty much come on our team, or they've been a starter. So,
except Zinny.
Except Zinny. But the thing is, Zinny started for a year, a whole year. He got dropped, but he started for a whole year. Ramsdale, whole year. and these are good years too, you know. Like, yeah, bad moments for sure, but Ramsdale was a great keeper last year. Zinny made our team completely different last year. You know, I mean, Jesus even, he did a service for us last year. So
Let me ask you about Jesus real quick. Will you be okay starting next season with Jesus as one of your striking options? Will you be okay with that?
Yeah, but he can't start. I'm already kind of accepting that he's going to stay.
Okay.
I'm already accepting because I don't think at this point we're going to go spend $100 million on a striker. And unfortunately, that they're just a premium right now. Everyone needs a striker. Everyone knows if you have a good striker, they're going to cost anywhere from $70 to $100 million, unless they're extremely young. You know what I mean? So if you want a top striker, you have to pay the money. And I don't think we're in a position now where we're like, we're not paying the money unless we get some money back. And that's why I think, you know, we have to focus on the players leaving. And I've been hearing rumblings, you know, Nketiah going some places. They even think about Reese Nelson. But our stance is like, everything I'm seeing is like, we're demanding a certain amount. We're getting this much, or our highest, you know, outgoing players, $35 million. It's not that anymore. It's like, no, if you guys want Ramsdale, we're demanding 50. We'll probably settle on 40, but we're demanding 50. Oh, you guys want Nketiah? He's going for at least 30. I don't care what you guys say. You know, Reese Nelson, another. I don't care what you guys say. He's going for 30 minimum. If you don't want to put 30 on it, then move along. So, yes, these are certain players. Like, those players I believe might leave, you know, more Andy Nketiah and Smith Rowe. But I can already see Kai Havertz being our starting nine next year and Jesus being the backup. And would I even be mad at that? No.
Okay.
I wouldn't even, because I see what Kai Havertz did in half a season. So I'm kind of on this train where we need Odegaard to go operate that left center mid, and we need an eight. We need a Bruno G. We need a 6'8" who's gonna push the agenda, who's gonna score like a Bruno G, like a Douglas Luiz. We need one of those. And I can see us as maybe getting like a 6. I've seen Onana links. I'm gonna do Onana from Everton just because they say they want to put Declan Rice in that space, but I don't see it. I think we need to go get, you know, a good Spanish midfielder, man. Honestly.
That's so interesting. You should answer this question.
American and Spanish. Jesus was 45 mil. What player out can you get of his quality for that price?
Will Tony be 45?
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think they'll sell Tony for 45.
50 maybe? I don't know. Like, but, no, I'm not. I mean, what player can we go get? A great question.
For 45?
Yeah, we can go get Xerxes. Xerxes is the same. To me, Xerxes and Jesus are the same person. I swear, they are the same person.
Wow.
If Xerxes doesn't work out, he will be a Jesus. If Xerxes works out, he'll be great. He'll be an amazing player. Because if you can turn, you know, he beats players very well. He's strong on the ball. You know, if he can just finish and not waste time in the box and not all that dribbling, he'll be great. He'll be what Jesus wants to be.
That's so crazy, bro.
But if he doesn't work out, if Xerxes doesn't work out, it'll be $40 million for another Jesus, and I'm over the project already. I'm already over that type of player, that profile of player. Like, bro, give me a Sesko, some guy who runs like a machine, tall, lanky, and just shoots, and it has good technique and finishes, bro. That's what my team needs. We already have silky smooth guys, bro. I don't need another one. I really don't. We have enough of that. We have Trossard. We have Saka. We have Odegaard. We have Partey in the midfield. Like, we have players who are going to be the silky ones to do their little thing. I need my nine to score goals, bro. That's it. I don't care what you look like anymore. Just score goals.
You know, it surprises me you say all this, but you'd be okay with Havertz.
I know we'll be okay with Havertz. That's why I'm not even pushing the agenda of getting a whole striker. Like, bro, Kai Havertz proved I've been deprived from a striker so long that Kai Havertz came in, gave me 13 goals and seven, eight assists. And I was like, wow. This is what it feels like for a guy to put over, like, you know, give me that mid-range of goals. And he only played there for half the season. Imagine if he played there 38 games.
So you think for a full season, he can actually make a difference?
I think he can put in, he put in 12. He was playing left eight for how long? And it didn't work out. He became our striker. He immediately started scoring way more. Headers, left foot, right foot. Like, if we put him there for twice as much time, I'm not going to say his production is going to be twice as much, but I can see 17 goals, bro. I can see 17 goals. I can see 8 assists, 10 assists. I can see it. I'm not mad at that. I'm accepting that. With Jesus coming off the bench, maybe he'll give me 5, 7. He should, honestly. And the pressure won't be on him anymore. You know what I mean? So I can, I'm not even mad at it, bro. Well, let's go Spurge on a midfielder, because this Odegaard agenda that's been rising upon him on how he's hindering Saka has been getting to me, and I think I'm starting to agree. And I think we do need him to go operate the left, help Martinelli out a little bit more, and give Saka that space to roam. I've seen some compilation videos. I've seen some things. Like, even that Amrabat highlight, when he crossed up Amrabat, it doesn't even hit for me the same anymore. Honestly. Because if you guys watch the run he made after he passed the ball to Saka, disgusting stuff. An absolutely disgusting run. Like, what are you doing?
Amrabat slipped. He didn't. Talk to him with respect. Call him his real name. Amrabat. Amrabat. Yeah, which I hope we get. We sign him back. But I have a question. Why do you think guys like Ivan Toney haven't been bought yet? Like, he's a guy.
It's a risk, and we have the Euros. We can wait.
Yeah,
I think Toney will get the transfer.
He will.
I think he'll get the transfer, but let's see how you do in this Euros.
He's not gonna play.
Let's see how you do in this Euros. Let's hear about you.
He's not gonna
play. You don't think these coaches talk, bro? You don't think they're going to be training? People are going to see him and how he's doing in training, and they're not going to talk, bro? Let's see how you perform at this Euros.
Yeah. This Euros and Copa America is going to expose a lot of talent that, you know, we are not watching because, you know, we're focused maybe in the Premier League or Bundesliga, whatever. You're going to see a lot of talent coming out, and I think that's what we're seeing with a lot of teams, just being patient to kind of see these tournaments, you know, run their course, and then they're going to do whatever they need to do. Anyways.
Yeah, I agree. But speaking of Euro, speaking of Copa, let's get into our international tournaments. Euro Cup 2024 starts this Friday, actually. I believe the first game is Scotland versus Germany. But pretty much what I wanted to do was kind of just go through group by group, kind of look at each group, who we believe is going to come out on top, and then if we want to get into who we believe are potential winners, our dark horses, you know, we can get into those as well, just so we can leave a little bit of time for Copa as well. But group A, we got Germany, Hungary, Scotland, and Switzerland. Who do we see getting out of that group? Who do we see second place?
Germany, Switzerland. Go ahead. Granit Xhaka's on a mad thing right now. He's untouchable. I'm telling you. So I got Switzerland and Germany going.
I agree with that. I mean, it's one of those groups that I feel like it speaks for itself. We know the two super powerhouses in that group, in Switzerland and Germany. Germany's lucky, man. Host nation getting a pretty easy group.
I mean, come on, man.
They have no excuses, man. If you don't make it at least out of the group stages, that's an embarrassment. You're home this tournament, and you have a very easy group. No excuses for Germany.
Yeah, I have no excuses. You said Kai Havertz what?
He'll do his thing, don't worry. Actually, he might not. He only likes Arsenal. He might not. He might actually be a bum. So,
Guys love with Germany.
That's true.
Germany's number 9. Yeah, I think they'll they got Fulkrug too, though, from Dortmund. But I think Switzerland and Germany will get out. I think Scotland will be last. and Hungary will be third. Especially if you know who's on the back line.
Scott McTeague. Come on, man. We have a good tournament.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And then Group B, we got Albania, Croatia, Italy, and Spain. This is a tricky group. I think I got Spain coming out as on top of the table for that group. But between Croatia and Italy, it could get sticky. We know how Italy does in the Euros, but Croatia has a squad. I think I'm going to go with Croatia, though.
Yeah.
Coming around with Croatia.
Yeah, Italy is going home early. This is one of the weakest teams in a long time. I don't know if you guys seen their squad, but Italy might get bounced early. I don't see them defending this trophy the slightest. But Spain, as your top team, is crazy to me. I'm sticking with Croatia, man. Croatia always, for some reason. Oh, is Modric retired? Is he playing in this Euros? Do you guys know?
He's been another year, so he might.
He's playing.
Yeah,
I think he'll be playing.
Yeah, Modric is playing. I'm Croatia.
Yeah, I actually have Croatia not advancing. I think that this is the end of this era. I think all their guys are aged. So I saw a tweet that said, "Oh, Ivan Perisic is back." And I was like, "Oh, wow." I was like,
"But guys, bro, he does this for Croatia though. Anytime Perisic is done, he goes to a tournament with Croatia and he does a crazy thing."
Not just him. I'm talking about like the core group, like him, Modric, Rakitic, these guys. Kovacic. You know what I'm saying? Brozovic. Brozovic is in Saudi. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm really interested to see. That's like one thing just in general that I'm interested in seeing. Like these guys that play out in Saudi when they come back.
Oh, how they look? Team.
Yeah, like are you like keeping up or are you ahead? Where are you? Because I don't know.
Ronaldo looks good.
I don't know though, man. Croatia, bro.
Yeah.
These Croatians, every tournament.
Tournament team, man.
Yeah, it's bro. Different. Every single tournament, they find a way, bro. I have them out. I have them coming out.
I can see Italy advancing on some like we only
third. Yeah, third, bro. You know what I'm saying? Third place, you know, somehow snuck into the round of 16.
Yeah, goal differential with only two goals scored.
Italy has El Shaarawy back. I should tell you what. Go look at their squad. I think this is the weakest squad in a long time.
Hold on, let me.
Yeah, let me look at their squad.
Yeah, it's not impressive in my opinion.
Who? Okay, so who you?
Italy.
Donnarumma would definitely start.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got Donnarumma. Oh, Vicario. Vicario.
Yeah.
Vicario.
It's Italy. Yeah.
From Tottenham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man.
He's solid. Like, yeah,
he deserved a call up. He definitely deserved a call.
No, he did. I just thought it was funny. And then we got Bastoni, Bellanova. I don't know these guys. California. Cambiaso.
Mike's Darmian, like my point exactly.
Di Lorenzo, DiMarco, Gatti, Mancini. Okay, Nico Barella, Jorginho, Pellegrini, Fagioli, Cristiante. Okay, Chiesa.
I heard he's gonna leave this year too,
bro. That's one player I really wanted, cheap. But then that ACL happened, and I don't know. Yeah, he hasn't been the same player since injury.
I heard 25, and I was like, 25.
I'll take Chiesa for 25.
How bad is it though? 25.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
You tell, 25 is crazy. Scamacca, Raspadori. Yeah, they really don't have
They don't have like a star player. Like, I look at their team.
Yeah, they don't even have like Insigne. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
wait, El Shaarawy didn't make the final cut?
No, he did.
No, he did.
Yeah.
He's probably number 10.
I seen that and I was like, why? What's going on?
You know, Jorginho will will them in. They'll he'll you know.
Yeah,
he's going to be their leading goal scorer. Scott with four penalties.
Moving on to Group C, we got Denmark, England, Serbia, and Slovenia. England should win that group, and then I got Denmark coming out too.
Should they win the group or should they win the tournament? I think they, you know what I'm saying. Let's be real. Before
has we all ever have, been home, England. Yeah. Has it ever every been home?
Year. Every
to
year,
me, close. Semis really? Is the minimum.
Semis?
The, no, semis bro, is the minimum. Final is the minimum.
I said minimum. The literally the minimum.
No, they have to make it to the. You know, I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard Southgate would consider it stepping down if they don't win this.
He should.
All right.
He would consider it good as not coming out.
Trini, you're nuts. Over Serbia and Slovenia? Come on,
man. Over Serbia? Mitrovic is just, he's ready.
He's licking his chops.
Nah. England, let's be real. They'll make it coming.
Yeah, they're for sure coming out. If they don't come out, bro,
that would be hold on.
Are they the favorites?
They are.
France.
England, France, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I feel like those would be
those two are their favorites, yeah.
But who's more deep? Like who's you know like
France,
who's
probably.
No
dude I would argue England. I think France has a very solid like 11, but when you look at some of the guys that they're bringing off the bench, like England, some of the guys that England's bringing off the bench is like, oh okay, you know these guys can make an impact. Cole Palmer's coming.
I would agree. I feel like England has a deeper attack.
Ivan Toney, Ollie Watkins. I mean, this is just different. Like,
yeah, Bowen. Yeah.
Right. Bowen. What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kobe. Stop.
And shout out Yasker's boy. What is it? Andy Warhol. What's his name?
Eddie Wharton.
Adam Wharton.
Hey, honestly, Wharton, man, he's good, bro.
Yeah, he's
good.
You're probably right. England's probably the deeper squad. You're probably right.
They have the deepest squad. I agree.
So yeah, they have to be the favorites, right? We're just gonna say
they are absolutely France, the favorites, like
because France has the best player in the world.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. That's gonna be good. To see, hopefully England does what they're supposed to do because I know they got, I know they smell blood after last year's or after last Euro 4 years ago where they lost in penalties. But moving on to Group D, this is where France is. So we have Austria, France, the Netherlands, and Poland. I got France winning the group. And then honestly, I got the Dutch as my dark horse, man. I really like this Netherlands team. I saw a little bit of their match. I think it was yesterday. I know they have some injuries. They're not going to bring what's his name?
Frankie.
Yeah, Frankie's officially out, and I believe they have one more injury that's kind of big for them. But I do have France winning the group, and I got Netherlands in second place there.
Mm. Sounds about right. Yeah, I mean France just like England. I mean minimum, you got to make it to the semis. We can't have some of these teams just dropping off.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Austria and Ralf Rangnick. So shout out Double R. You know, low key though. Don't be surprised if Austria does well this tournament. I would not be surprised.
I just saw them play. Is it Switzerland they just played?
How they do?
They didn't look too bad. They didn't look too bad. I think they won 2-1.
Wow, young Trinity.
I feel bad for Lewandowski, man. That guy always gets the worst luck with groups. I feel like his groups are always two for sure teams.
Yeah, bro.
We're just better than you. Like.
Better, absolutely.
There's only so much you can do, brother.
Every tournament.
Yeah, every single tournament. Every single one. I feel bad for it. But yeah, you're not getting out this group either. It's over.
Netherlands winning it all. That's a shout. But I can see it.
I like this Dutch team, though. I'm not going to hold you. I don't think they have enough as far as their strikers. They're going with like Memphis.
To me, it's the middle for real, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Who they really have?
Donnie?
Is he going? I know Genie is back.
Genie's back.
Yeah, Van De Beek ain't going.
I was just looking at their squad.
When was the last time he played?
They got Wijnaldum, Dumfries, mm-hmm. Gravin Birch, Xavi Simons. So they got some players that go in there.
Virgil?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This Dutch team is interesting.
That's actually crazy. My manager said that he always picks a dark horse, and he picked the Netherlands. He was like, I think they're going to go all the way. I was like, that's a good shout. Oh, that's a great shout. So,
yeah, I think my dark horse is. I'm sorry. Go ahead. My dark horse, I think, is in the next group. Who's in the next group?
So, Group E, we got Belgium, Romania, Slovakia, and Ukraine.
Oh, nice.
Belgium. Way. Definitely should win that group. I mean, I know their golden generation's over, but Belgium still has players. They should win that group. 1,000%.
This is my dark horse. This is Belgium.
Wow.
Belgium, because these guys. No, I'm just saying Lukaku, not just him, but De Bruyne. You know, these guys, you have to do it now. They got some good young guys too. Like Onana, they got Doku. I feel like they have, in the right places, they have the veterans needed. Their back line is a little shaky.
Very shaky. Vertonghen, Witsel, Meunier.
Yeah, but I think that they'll be able to score, man. Between Trossard, Lukaku, and
De Bruyne. Doku.
Yeah, De Bruyne. You know, De Bruyne, too. Like, these tournaments, he always does well.
But we've been saying that since 2018, though.
They had disaster last tournament.
We've been saying it since 2014, for real.
Yeah, but they'll go further than. I think that they get to the semis. I think they'll certainly get further than the Netherlands.
Wow.
No way. You
the thing
so?
About.
Yeah.
The thing about this team is egos, man. Yeah. It's egos, bro.
They know. They know who the. they know who the head honcho is.
Timberland boots.
Nah, even him. I saw this video of him. I forgot who he was playing, but like he drew the penalty, and he ended up scoring. I think he ended up scoring two goals. He's had a pretty good run at these little international friendly games that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a brace in the last game I think that they played. So you know Rome will just miss when he needs to score.
Yeah.
But he'll score. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even be surprised. Here's a shout. Golden Boot, top three.
Hey, it's crazy because somebody put in like ChatGPT or AI, like one of them AI softwares, nice. Like who's going to win the Euros, and they had Lukaku as Golden Boot winner.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, so I agree. Belgium.
Who's in that group? You said Belgium,
Romania.
Belgium, Romania,
Romania. Lukaku easily could get four against Romania. Against Romania, yeah, you know what I'm saying. He'll get two against Ukraine. Yeah, and then he'll score nothing else. But then it'll be like, oh damn, you remember Lukaku's six groups goals? He's the golden boot winner. Yeah.
Yeah, I got Ukraine coming out second though. Shout out Mudrik. Shout out Zinny.
Hey, listen, Kylo. Man. You know, Zinny doesn't play left back for them. He plays in the mid, so they might be good, man.
Probably better.
Yeah, they might be good.
Coming out party, man. Mudrik is gonna ball out.
Who does Slovakia have? Do they have they have Dubravka. That's who they had. Dubravka and Milan Skriniar. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
That's about it.
Y'all remember what he did? Y'all remember what he did the last Euros?
Dubravka?
Yeah.
Well, when he smacked it in the goal?
Yeah. I made a TikTok about it, and then they took it down. Yeah. Shout out to TikTok.
I remember that. He just went like this. I was like,
You know what's crazy? That guy, he played United.
We can move on. We can move on.
Yeah, man. This last group is going to be Group F. Mm. We got Czechia, who used to be former Czech Republic, okay. Georgia, Portugal, and Turkey. We got Portugal winning the group. Turkey as second place.
That's my dark horse.
That's my other dark horse. The dark invader. The dark invader.
These little friendlies, bro.
No,
that's my dark horse. No. I actually have them winning the whole thing, to be honest.
I'm not gonna lie, Mike.
The whole thing. I can see that.
But they, what's easier for them is that they've already like benched Ronaldo. You know what I'm saying? So like we've already gotten that out of the way in the World Cup. Like when we needed to win, we benched you. We won 3-0. Or no. I don't know if they won 3-0, but no, Gonzalo Ramos.
Gonzalo Ramos.
He had a hat trick.
Yeah.
So like I think they've already moved past the point of like we don't need to necessarily make him like happy. Like we know we're a better team with him coming off the bench. So I think, yeah, that's a good shout. Him, Leao, but these other guys got to step up. Like Leao, Fernandez. Yeah.
I need to see Bruno like have the tournament that we've been waiting for him to have. Like because he's kind of been so in these tournaments. I need to see Bruno ball up.
Bruno. I can
Felix
see Bruno.
Too, Felix too.
He's done.
Felix and Leao, those guys need to do something.
Felix, this may be a shout, but I think he fooled everybody with that 1 year at
He fooled me. That's bad.
at Benfica, that 114 some million that he costs, he fooled everybody.
Saddam, it's funny you came around right when I bought in. Because after that year at Chelsea, I'm like, okay, he actually has some talent. Remember, I never bought into him. I always said he was a fraud. But after he played for us, like watching him closely, he does have something. It's just I don't know if he just hasn't been at the right place so far.
Yeah, but what level of something? Like Eden Hazard something or like
my level, man. I feel like if he goes on a team where he's the guy, he'll be good. He's splitting time. He was splitting time. He wasn't even he was like third on the totem pole.
Yeah, because he put himself there. He had a clear run at it. You had to go up against guys like Rafinha. You're telling me you couldn't beat out guys like Rafinha? And I mean, credit to Yamal, talented young guy.
He's but probably like, the best young player we have right now.
Yeah, but you're telling me that like you couldn't find your way there. You've been on loan. You've been on loan. You've been on loan. How many times you've been loaned out? Like how many times? Chelsea, Barca. Yeah,
he's getting slotted out. But anyways,
yeah. Are you kidding me?
Anyway.
Shout out Arnie's slot. Oh, I can't wait for next season. Oh, I can't wait for next season. Shout out to Arnie Slot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, anyway, I have Portugal and what'd you call it coming up? Who else was in that group?
So it was Portugal, Turkey, Czechia, and Georgia.
Portugal and Turkey.
Yeah, I got Portugal.
Yeah, I watched Turkey recently. I was actually impressed. I was like, "Man, bro, this Güler guy is like legit, dog."
Arda,
bro, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. But see, who were we just talking about? We were just talking about Felix.
Yeah,
he won't be better than Arda.
Oh no! This guy is legit. He has something.
Arda versus Yamal. That's gonna be fun. That's the crazy man. It's sad though. Yamal is just stuck there at Barca. Like I feel like Barca, it's gonna take a minute for Barca to be good again.
It's like he came up in like the worst Barca era.
The worst time.
Like the worst time to be at Barca right now.
if you were like, you know, like coming off the bench during
the Neymar days.
Yeah, MSN. Six man. But yeah, man. That's a good one. I think we went through all the groups.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do golden boot shouts. Who do you guys have? I said mine. I said Lukaku.
Romelu.
I can see
Kai Havertz. Run it.
Okay.
Kai Havertz.
Give us lucky room for Germany this year.
Yeah. Nah. I'm rooting for my boy Saka. I still want my boy Saka to go and win something. He deserves
Nigeria.
I'm gonna go Kane, man. I gotta make it complicated.
It's not a bad shout, honestly.
Harry Kane.
Okay. It's not a bad shout.
This is a young Trini shout. Memphis.
Golden
Memphis.
No. I'm taking it back. Alien, dog. What are we doing?
I said Mbappe.
Killian.
Mbappe, man. I'm tripping. I completely forgot.
It's crazy. I think smack it. I think France get they knocked out early.
Nah, this France team, I don't know, man. Golo is back.
But they're not starting Saliba.
Oh,
they're starting a Upamecano. You know what he can do. You know I've seen him do some things. Trust me.
Konate.
See, I don't understand things like that. Like,
I've seen a Upamecano.
Do you guys ever like think about stuff like this? Like, what possibly is this manager seeing in Upamecano?
I don't know
that he thinks he's a better option than Saliba. Like, I think about stuff like that. Like,
he's a better partner.
I'm just like, is it the partnership? Is it because he's just been in the squad longer? Like, what is it?
What is it? The Braves?
No, let's be honest. He's not a better player. He's just not. I don't care what anybody says. He's not a better player. Upamecano's not a better player than Saliba.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't.
Who should it be? Saliba and Konate?
Yeah.
I would love. I think that's the strongest lineup for sure.
Oh, yeah. France have this young guy though.
Euro Lenny.
Oh yeah, Lenny.
Is that his name? The center back.
Yes, he was linked for the longest time.
Yeah.
He's
18 years old.
Yeah, he's good.
Trust. I've been watching him with the
dreads, with the cornrows or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know if he has. Yeah, I don't know.
Light skin cat. Lenny Euro. He's like 18, 19.
He's 18, yeah.
Trust. No, you talking about the light skin.
I'm talking about
him. Yeah, center back.
Yeah. We're linked with him, but so is Real Madrid. So he'll probably end up going
anywhere on this list.
He's not going to Euros.
He's going to Olympics.
He's going. But just he's going to be one of them ones coming up very soon.
Say less. I'm a definitely top man. Check out my boy.
But
I can't think of his name, but yeah, I'll send it to it.
But yeah, do we want to touch on Copa before we get out of here as well?
The only thing that I want to say is no disrespect, but this is one of the weakest Brazilian teams I have ever observed. This is one of the weakest. And I mean, like, you know, I used to look at Brazil. I'm sure we all, you know, used to look at this team specifically and be like, you know, this is the collection of talent right here. You know, they may not always win because they may not always have the pieces to be successful in a tournament style, but in terms of talent, Brazil was always loaded with talent. But now when I look at this team, I look at Vinny, Endrick, and to be very honest with you, I think Rodrigo's pretty good too. But yeah, but I just feel like those guys, I could like even like back then, if you were to take them back then and drop them back then, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah. These are Brazilian guys. This is the new generation. But these guys now, like, we got guys like Richarlison. Shout out. What's his name? The guy from United.
Richarlison didn't go, I thought.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, but it's just like that, it's like that prototype. Nah, Anthony got snubbed. He got snubbed.
Listen, Jesus got snubbed.
He got snubbed.
Snub is not the word. He didn't get snubbed.
He got snubbed. He got snubbed.
That ain't no snub.
He won a trophy. He won a trophy this year.
Jesus didn't get called up, and I think
so did Martial.
Martial. Nah, actually not. Martial didn't even get a medal for him. He didn't play a game. You didn't see him up there lifting a trophy. You know what I'm saying? Nah.
Oh, yeah, he didn't play enough.
There's some guys who didn't, you know what I'm saying? Sofian barely got it.
He left with some.
He left it. Sofian Amrabat, shout out, man. But
I wanted to ask y'all, how far do y'all think the U.S. team goes in this Copa?
Round of 16.
Yeah.
I say they
got the groups. Yeah.
Round of 16, man.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. This is one of the best U.S. teams we've had, like ever.
I think it is, but talent wise, this is my issue. You moved on from the coach, and then you went back. I don't understand.
It's not even round of 16. It's just round of 8.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll make it out of the group.
Yeah,
and not from there.
Round of 16.
Yeah, just round of 8, just to semis.
Nah, they're not. Quarterfinals. Yeah,
they're quarters. Right. Yeah.
Wow. After you get out of the group stage, you're going straight to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They should, but I just don't know, man.
Who's in their group?
So the U.S. is in a group with. Hold on, I was just there. Give me 1 second.
Bolivia, Panama, U.S., and Uruguay.
That's a nice
Uruguay.
I think Uruguay gets out for sure.
I think they might win the group.
Yeah, they have Bielsa. They're not playing around.
Ronald Araujo.
I can see. You know, bro, this U.S. team drawing
Nunes.
They're not supposed to draw and losing to Uruguay, and that's why they won't make it out. I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it.
An old Luis Suarez.
Yeah, I think
he's still scrappy.
Yeah, still Edison. Scrappy. Is Edison go? I think Edison's going.
I didn't check.
Are you sure? Damn. That would be dope if we can.
Cavani and Darwin. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, Bielsa is their coach. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bielsa is their coach.
So you know they're going to be attacking. I wouldn't be surprised if Darwin has a good tournament. He matches.
He's been playing well. I saw their Mexico game. I think he had a brace.
Yeah, Bielsa will like him. He matches what he wants to do. But yeah, U.S. will beat Bolivia.
Would they though?
Yeah, they should be able to beat Bolivia. Panama. Panama is one of those where it's like, okay.
It's a toss-up.
Honestly, it's a toss-up.
I don't know. I can't. With this team, I just don't know. They just got destroyed by who? Was it Colombia?
5-1. 5?
Yeah. That Colombia team. Shout out to that Colombia team, man. Yeah. It was some great goals, man. Great goal. There's what, yeah, some great goals.
James made our back line look like,
this team might be shaky for real. I don't know
if we get out the y'all always hate on me for saying America is not going to do well in these tournaments and stuff like that, but I'm just calling it how I see it, bro.
I was more confident
in that World Cup squad.
Yeah, I was more confident in the World Cup. This squad, hey,
when I saw our keeper get beat from post like that, it's like, oh,
this is the world.
This is Onana settings, man. We are. Yeah, man. Oh, man. Cool, man. You guys have any shout outs?
Well, shout out to Ghana, man. We're top of the group, World Cup qualifiers.
Congrats, man.
Jordan IU hat trick. Can't make this up, man. Can't make this up. Anyways.
Yeah, no, this is crazy. This is probably Liberia's like best outing in the last.
I couldn't even tell you how long.
Liberia's never made a World Cup, and right now we're third place in our group behind Namibia, who's in second, and then I forgot who's in first, to be honest. But
you guys have a group Tunisia's in first.
So essentially we have to like win out, or we can't lose any more matches, and we need we need somebody to beat Namibia.
Yeah.
So I'm out here praying on a downfall. No cap.
We get more teams this World Cup.
So. If Liberia is in the World Cup,
I'm going to every match.
To the U.S.
I'm going to every match. Y'all going to see
I'm
me.
I'm going to lose it.
Every match. No, I don't care. Dress. 3 weeks
you should go dress.
For sure. What? The cleanest of African threads.
Man, I tell my
eyes. No. Gabriel.
What?
We'll be in African threads. You need to have your shin guards out. They're gonna need the support.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. No. Yeah. If Liberia makes it, bro, that'd be crazy.
Also, shout out. When we were in high school, we had a foreign exchange student. His name's Dion. He's from Suriname, and I've actually been paying attention to Suriname because they're actually at the top of their group, and I actually hit him on IG yesterday, and I was just like, yo, Suriname looks good. And he informed me, I didn't know this, but if they win their group, this will be the first time that Suriname ever makes it to a World Cup as well. So I'm rooting for Suriname on the low as well in the
same,
you know, in their group. But
shout out, bro, Dion.
Yeah, man. He's also an Arsenal fan, so we talked a little bit about that, but yeah. Shout out!
Yeah, we'll save that for the season recap. shout out goes to the one and only ETH, Eric Ten Hag. Young Trini sent me a message on Instagram and said, "You got your wish."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Yep, I sure did." And then in all seriousness, I did want to shout out both my King's Hammer teams, my 08s and my 09s. They are traveling to St. Louis for the playoffs. First game is tomorrow at 8. So wish I could be there with y'all. Best of luck to you.
Shout out,
man. Bring it home.
Bring it home. My last season, man. Me, Klopp. It's a few of us. It's a few of us, right? Me, Klopp, boys, Xavi. It's a few, Poch. You know what I'm saying? Poch. Yeah, man. Shout out to the managers, man.
Shout out to the managers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of us.
He's at ETH out still.
Yeah. Well, maybe next season. We'll see. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. As always, good luck to you and your future endeavors.